there is always a lot of apprehension about the use of technology and what, and especially when it is a technology like AI. From a leadership standpoint, understanding the value and the impact of what you're doing and being able to communicate. My mantra has always been, give them a hard problem and get some of your smart, you know, talent going after these problems, and you will be amazed at what people can create. We have set up an AI governance body, which comprises of folks from our enterprise risk management, data privacy, infosec, audit, legal compliance, and that whole group.
Welcome to the CAIO podcast, where we delve deep into the world of chief AI officers, exploring their journeys, insights, and challenges in steering AI initiatives within their organizations. I'm your host, Sanjay Puri, and today we are honored to have Preeta Sekaran with us. Preeta is the Vice President, Digital Incubator and Applied AI for Unum, a large insurance provider. Join us as we uncover the secrets to her success, the obstacles she's faced, and the wisdom she has gained along the way. Preeta, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Sanjay. It's a pleasure being here with you today.
Wonderful. Preeta, we have a global audience for you, AI enthusiasts, leaders of industry, policymakers, etc. And they want to know about your journey. How did you end up as the VP of Applied AI at Unum, please?
Definitely. So it might be a little long-winded, but I'll try to make it crisp. So I have a background in engineering, and so have spent a good bit of my career in software engineering, building software solutions, products, and so on. And midway through that, I realized I love technology, but I love what technology really does in terms of business impact. And so I took a little bit of a detour and, kind of did my MBA, went into management consulting. And Unum happened it was very coincidental. Like, they were looking for someone to kind of set up a digital strategy within the company. And, this kind of leveraged my business skills and my technical skills. And so kind of joined Unum, set up the digital strategy organization, realized I do have a passion for innovation. And so that's how, innovation was something that came into me. And as part of the innovation function, we were looking at a lot of emerging tech. And if you think about insurance and think about insurance being a very regulated industry, AI is not something that we take lightly. And so, there was a lot of evaluation. We kind of did a couple of projects, proof of concepts, and so on. And one thing led to the other. And we now have an applied AI team at Unum building solutions using AI. So that's a long-winded answer to your question.
No, but it's an important answer. As Preeta, I have told you, the purpose of this podcast is to inspire also others who want to follow in your journey. Before I get to that part, for our listeners outside the U.S., can you just give a very brief intro about Unum? Because there might be people who are outside the U.S., and I don't know if Unum is outside the U.S., so just a very brief intro of what Unum does.
Yeah, so Unum is a life and disability insurance carrier. So if you think about in the US market, right, so you have the medical, which is on one side, which is all the health insurance stuff. And then you have products that are more financial annuity based kind of products. We don't deal with either of them, but we are almost a niche provider of everything in between. So whether it's dental and vision, life products, voluntary products, disability products. Those are the products that we have. We are based here in the US, but we also have operations in UK, Poland, and we have, some development shops in Ireland and so on. So it's a $12 billion company. Very, very niche products, but a market leader in the products that we offer.
Wonderful. So, Preeta, we talked about your journey to get here. And as I said, this segment is about inspiring others. Tell us about some of the challenges that you faced in this journey and how did you deal with them? This is, again, for people who say, I want to grow up to be Preeta.
And I'm assuming you're asking about my own personal journey. Or is this more about...
Yeah, personal journey, and also talk about the professional part that you have had to deal with in terms of the work that you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll probably speak about it more in the context of the work journey. If you think about Unum as a company, we are a 100-year-old insurance company, and because it's a regulated industry, right? There is always a lot of apprehension about the use of technology and what, and especially when it is a technology like AI, which sounds cool, but at the same time is very much like a black box that people don't naturally kind of understand. There is a lot of apprehension. So as I think about the journey, right, like how do we take an organization through this journey of trusting machines, trusting that this is not just a cool tech, but this is something that can actually drive business value. A lot of challenges in that, right? And I don't look at these as challenges. I look at these as opportunities and problems that just needs to be solved, right? So, and we had to really kind of think hard about what use cases will we pick. Right, the choice of the use case, because you're very early in that journey, and you want to kind of make sure you know that you don't have too many avenues for a failure, right? Especially in a risk averse kind of industry, and so pick the right use case, which is a problem that is a burning problem for the business. It's big enough that there is enough value and business impact that can excite people, but also it is something that is doable, right? So you have to kind of know that feasible, the feasibility of that should not be a question mark, right? So we had to kind of think about all of those challenges and trying to kind of pick the right one. That would pretty much be like a flagship project or a use case that can drive a lot of momentum within the organization. So the first challenge in my head, Sanjay, was really picking the right use case, getting the buy-in, to getting the license to just innovate. That was the second step, right? Getting enough excitement, at least within the senior leaders, to say, okay, go and try this out. So that buy-in and that sponsorship was very, very critical. And then through the execution itself, right? Like I spoke about trust. How do people trust machines? And how do people trust what machine is creating or recommending is the right one? That's a journey. Just because you think the model is right doesn't mean people have to trust that the model is right. And you have to really think long and hard about change management and how do you take people through that journey of believing, the recommendations from the AI models and so on. So lot of challenges, lot of first principles thinking, lot of pivots through the process as we embarked on some of these journeys.
So some fantastic feedback for our listeners who are dealing with their companies in traditional entities. Everybody doesn't work in DeepMind or OpenAI. The United States and around the world, not just United States, is made up of companies like yours who are producing products or providing services. But the application of AI is tremendous. And I think what Preeta has told our listeners, how she has gone through these challenges. Preeta, in terms of pushback, did you get much pushback when you were trying to do this?
Yes. There is pushback and pushback at different levels, right? So, not every pushback is the same. So you have to really understand the reason behind the no, is what I would say. But we also, like I said, we knew this was going to be it's an emerging tech, right? And so there is going to be a lot of people who will be very skeptical about, hey, it looks cool. They're making it sound really cool, but does it actually work, right? So a lot of skepticism initially is what I would say. In fact, when we undertook this first initiative, we, like the operational leader who was kind of the sponsor for the work, we needed a lot of the operational team members to work very closely with the team that was building the models, right, and validating the models. And we didn't even have, like, up until the first models where we started showing results, we didn't have that buy-in where she was like, hey, you know, like it took us almost 3-4 months. Then I remember the fourth month is when she said, tell me what you need and let me see how I can make resources available for doing that, right? So I would say it has, like, at every level, it has just been, you know, you have to kind of prove your credibility, prove that you can do it and show initial results, show initial wins. I feel like that those wins, they kind of create almost like a snowball effect where, you know, you have a small win that generates some excitement, and then you kind of keep building on top of those. So that is what I would say. In fact, we had some folks who were very, very skeptical, and it was almost by design, because if you could convert some of those skeptics, you have a bigger win, because they have a much louder influence on the rest of the organization from an adoption standpoint. And so having some of those, you know, skeptics in the process was really, really kind of helpful.
What Preeta is saying is a very, very interesting point. Most people actually tell you to go for the believers first. What she's saying is actually go for the non-believers, because if you can convert them, then everything else kind of just becomes very, very easy. So for listeners who are trying to be inspired and learn from her, is a very important going against maybe Business School 101, is she's saying go for the non-believers. That's a great point, Preeta. Preeta, when you are structuring your AI team from within, what roles do you find most crucial for success?
There are many roles, but I'll probably go in the sequence of how, you know, the roles and what role they play at various stages of these initiatives. In the initial stages, I would say roles that are more like AI product managers, who can think about the problem, think about having like a bolder vision for what we are solving, what the product vision is, that is very, very crucial, right? So these are almost, think of them as hunters that are looking at various problem spaces and figuring out, you know, how can we use AI to solve those problems. And then, you know, having that idea, taking that idea and translating it into a product, right? That's a journey in itself. So you have the AI product managers, those are very critical. Data scientists, data engineers, I mean, that goes without saying. But we also have a role for operational success and design. And what that means is, what I've found is that many a times it's not just slotting in a model into an existing process. If you're really thinking about getting transformative value, you have to rethink your processes around the technology as well. And so we needed to have people within the teams that were looking at it from, because some of these were internal use cases, internal for Unum. So looking at what the workflow is for the internal employees, and how does this change how humans and machines interact, and how should the processes change to kind of meet that, right? And that also included looking at where do we not have a standard way of doing things? Where is the variability in the process kind of causing some challenges from an automation perspective? So that whole operational success and design was a very, very important piece along with the product managers. So we almost had both of them work in tandem. And thinking about how to architect the change, how do we get people to adopt, you know, like that whole process was also part of this whole thing. So I would say change management, operational success design, AI product managers, along with all the technical resources that are needed, the data scientists, the architects, MLOps, data engineers, and so on.
So would you say it's a multidisciplinary approach in some ways, Preeta?
Yes. I think if we think this is just data science and just AI models, you'll probably miss the boat. This is not, like, I think of this almost as a business transformation and less as a technology implementation.
So again, for our listeners, I think she's making a great point, which again, I don't want to keep paraphrasing, but multidisciplinary approach, complete business transformation approach for our listeners who are down this journey. Preeta, that's a great, great point. Now, there are people who are down this journey. As I said, this segment is about inspiring others. In your view, for someone looking, you know, to follow in your journey, what should be the must-have skills to build, to become a leader in the AI leadership space?
I think, like I mentioned, Sanjay, the power of this role is in your ability to influence a lot of stakeholders, right? And predominantly many of them are going to be your senior leaders, your senior executives, business, finance, like a lot of those organizations. And so the technical skills and the technical chops are important. But I would say, you know, from a leadership standpoint, understanding the value and the impact of what you're doing and being able to communicate that, being able to think very strategically about what is this capability that you're bringing to the organization and how it solves the business problems is going to be very, very critical. So that looking at this problem not purely as a technical, but as a multifunctional kind of thing. And that skill set should be there with anyone who's kind of leading this. I would also say, depending on where any organization is in the journey, for us, we were starting on this. So a big part of what I am now focusing on is education. And how do you bring the entire organization, right? So we've done a couple of use cases and projects very successfully. And there's a lot of energy and a lot of momentum around this in the organization. But the key is going to be, now how do I tap into this and bring the broader organization onto this transformation, right? The real value is when this becomes very pervasive. I mean, this is how you do business. And that requires everybody to kind of come in this journey along with us. It cannot just be isolated to these one or two departments that are, you know, that have embraced AI. So education, influence, like these are all the softer skills, but the real harder skills that I think people should really aspire to have.
So education to bring everybody along with you, influence so that you can get buy-in. People just think, hey, maybe she's an MLOps, she's a data science, but actually these are what she's saying is way more important skills. Preeta, we'll shift to giving you time to a little bit brag about your organization. Can you tell our listeners about some of the examples that you can obviously publicly talk about how AI is being used within your organization?
Yeah, definitely. So the first use case that we picked was in the claims area. We used it to basically help the adjudicators or the claim specialist with doing their job better, right? So with automation and augmentation as kind of needed. That was hugely successful. And partly was, it was a burning platform in the organization before we undertook this initiative. Another body of work that I'm super proud of is a project that we did around customer retention. So you think about customer retention and you say, okay, I need to build a model that will predict when customers are about to churn or terminate. But that in itself is not going to give you any value, right? So knowing that something is going to happen, great. But what do I do about it, right? So this initiative was not purely about that model that was built to predict churn, but it was a lot about, okay, now who, and this was for the under 100 market segment for Unum, which means these are smaller customers. And so if you kind of look at it from a revenue per customer basis, these are not our, the high ticket customers, right? So how can you have an operating model for retention, which is economical, right? Which makes economical sense, because you cannot have client managers dedicated to the smaller clients, but can we have a model where customers feel the intimacy, but not necessarily because they have a dedicated individual, right? And so we built the model. We really thought about the operating model for what needs to be set up, what kinds of interventions would be helpful, tested those out, kind of set up a small operating unit to kind of do that. Again, it was a huge success, and it was done in a pretty rapid fashion. You'll probably hear this theme consistently from me, Sanjay. It's not just technology. You have to look at this problem a lot more holistically with the lens towards what is getting value and what are needed to kind of deliver that value.
So you actually delivered value to the business because you found out why the turnover is happening, and which is good. You know, predictive analytics is good, as you said, but how do we fix it? And you, because correct, they were below 100, and you obviously you can't employ just bodies after bodies, you used AI to kind of figure out how to retain it. And obviously, I'm sure you would have seen some improvement in there. And obviously, internally, this would have made a big difference. So what, again, Preeta is saying is find use cases, some quick wins. So that is fantastic for people who are looking at, as to some of the interesting things that they're doing. Preeta, how are you fostering a culture of innovation and experimentation within your AI team for people who are looking at your organization to join to figure out, hey, am I going to have some opportunities to innovate, or am I just going to be told what to do?
I feel you throw a pretty challenging problem at a group of really talented individuals, and people find a way to come out with solutions. So like all the projects that are the products that I talked about, these are all done by the teams. And I really, really believe in the power of people rise to the occasion is my belief. And so, my mantra has always been give them a hard problem and get some of your smart, talent going after these problems, and you will be amazed at what people can create. Give them the freedom, give them the protection that you need in a larger organization. And once you've kind of done both of that, people actually kind of rise up to the occasion more often than not. I would say one thing that I'll say is being nimble is very, very important, because I don't think you will get it right the first time. It is always going to be a series of I learned, I pivoted, right? So my recommendation is never go with an autopilot mode, right? You have to kind of apply some first principles thinking when you're in these initiatives, right? Because you'll try something that will not work, but that's not a failure. It's just a learning. And how do you then pivot? Because you know what your end goal is, and it's just going to be a series of pivots to get to that, right? So as long as you foster that, and people start seeing how work happens in different teams, and that starts to kind of cross-pollinate with the rest of the group as well.
So there are a lot of opportunities, as you, I think, have said, for people to take on problems, to solve them, to be entrepreneurial, so to speak, in their own environment. So that's great. Can you talk about the role of diversity and inclusion in building AI teams, successful AI teams and initiatives? Because as our listeners are listening who have many opportunities, they want to know that also.
I'm a very, very strong proponent of having diversity. And it is really, really critical for teams that are in the space of innovation, because bringing that, when I say diversity, I want to kind of make sure I'm clear. It's the diversity of thought,
yeah,
right? So even within my team, if you think about it, and this goes right at the time of hiring and recruiting, you are constantly looking for, you have people who are on various ends of the spectrum, right? If you are a believer of Myers-Briggs and things, stuff and tools like that, you can, you, you, having a right mix of people in your team and even on projects, right? Like some projects will require you to do a lot of out-of-the-box thinking. So when you are kind of forming teams to support those initiatives, pick the right people to kind of staff on those initiatives, because that makes a lot of difference. So like understanding what problems and what kind of skill set and mindset do you need for solving those problems is very, very critical in my view, Sanjay. And having a pool of people and your teammates kind of all on various ends of that spectrum really helps, because then you have a pool that you can pick and choose to kind of go after very specific problems.
Oh, that's great. So Preeta, talk to our listeners about where does the AI team kind of fit into the, whether it's a reporting structure or the hierarchy, as people are looking at potential opportunities to look at Unum from a, opportunity perspective. What should they be looking at? How does the organization look at your group, so to speak?
My organization reports into the Chief Information and Digital Office.
Okay.
I would say that it has the team has built a lot of credibility, because we've had some really good home runs over the last 3-4 years, and so the credibility within business is pretty high. We are known to be a team that makes it happen, right? And so that's that, like the general. If you ask around, people would say, hey, if it's a complex, hard problem, throw it at that team, right? And that's a good brand to kind of have, is what I would say. I would also, so that business buy-in and support is very, 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 very important, right? So, because that's literally your first stage of trust building and credibility. So that is something that we have, and we're very fortunate to kind of have that.
There is good visibility within the organization of your group. Is it a fair thing to say to our listeners?
Yes. In fact, like if you think about it, innovation and AI are very, very important part of the CEO agenda. So while we are sitting in the digital office, it's a piece that our CEO does not take very lightly. Right. So he's very, very keen on really accelerating that within the organization.
So for our listeners to know who are looking at, that this is a high visible group, which has the support of the organization. Preeta, how do you navigate the ethical considerations surrounding AI, especially in an industry like insurance where, it's highly regulated, where the stakes can be very high?
Yeah, so at Unum, we have taken a very cross-disciplinary approach to managing AI risks. And we have set up an AI governance body, which comprises of folks from our enterprise risk management, data privacy, infosec, audit, legal compliance, and that whole group, right? And these group, they are a policy defining group, because we are early in that stage, and so a lot of these the policies and best practices needs to be established in the organization. And what we have also done has really been in some of the earlier projects, right? These projects were almost like the testing ground to make sure even the governance and controls are all fine. What we did was right through the life cycle of these projects, right from the beginning, as we are contemplating what the idea is, what the solution is, how are we thinking about designing this? Should we use it for approvals? Should we use it for denials? Like a lot of those things was pretty much reviewed by this governance body. We took them through the entire stage is how I would define it. And, some of the earlier projects pretty much became the stepping stone for how we defined AI risk and governance within the company. And the way we look at it is the stronger your brakes are, right, the faster you can go. And so it's really important that we get this right so that we can innovate faster in the organization.
Well, that's great. You have a multidisciplinary ethics committee, which is kind of, you know, providing the moral guidance to you. Preeta, data is considered the lifeblood of AI. And, you know, you are an insurance company holding so much data of so many individuals. How do you navigate data security and privacy concerns when you're working with such vast amounts of data?
Yeah, I mean, like looking at data privacy, especially when it is pertaining to PII, PHI, right? That is very, very, it's very, very critical. And so, like, both from how we implement these projects, making sure those considerations are included in how we design solutions, how we train the models, and so on. That is important. What we also do on the back end is make sure, like, the models are tested for bias and things like that. So, you know, one is the anonymization of some of this data upfront as we are using it. But also on the back end, you know, making sure that there is no bias that is there, you know, systemic or even anything that is introduced by our models itself.
Wonderful. Preeta, as you are building solutions within the company, are there external partners or collaborations that are helping you advance your AI agenda?
Yes. So I would think about partners in a couple of categories.
Of course.
We have our regular software, system integrator kind of partners that are helping us with. If you think about any AI project, right, there's a lot of data piping, orchestration, and all that is also needed. Along with, in many cases, you are building applications as well, right? And so this is one where this is the traditional software kind of skill set, and we have internal team, but a lot of times the internal team is also augmented by our standard SI partners. But we also have some strategic partnership with some smaller AI shops, right? Like, think of them as very high-end strategic partnership that we have with some of them. And then a lot of times you're also using platforms, and right. So apart from the cloud providers, there are also some niche vendors that we're using for like intelligent document processing and things like that. Things which are fairly commoditized, and you know, you don't have to solve all the problems yourself. So definitely, partnership is a big element of how we do things.
Are there some characteristics that you look for in terms of partners/vendors, etc., for our listeners who are kind of setting their own AI ecosystem?
Yeah, I think, and when I mentioned the strategic partnership, that's what I meant. We need players who are thought partners in this with us, right? We are humble enough to know that we don't know everything. And so the partnership that we bring, we are fully expecting them to really help our organizations to kind of mature as well in terms of practices and so on. So that is definitely a very, very important aspect. So, you know, we don't need, like, if I would say if you're just using them for staff augmentation, you're not fully leveraged the power that these partnerships can bring to us. So thought partnership on various fronts. We also have some partnership with some academic organizations, right? Institutes, and they help with responsible AI and those kind of topics. We have partners that we have brought in for education purposes, for example.
So wide range.
Yeah, it's a thought partnership kind of a thing that, you know, that I would fully expect from these vendors.
Oh, that's fantastic. Preeta, you know, one of the things that a lot of our listeners ask us is, what is the role of a mentor for someone like you? Have there been or has there been a mentor along this journey, especially in the AI journey? Because as some of these people are on their journey, they're trying to figure out, and as we are building this community, that's an important aspect for them to know from you.
Yeah, I think so. I look at mentorship slightly differently. I look at it as, hey, you know, one, communities like these really helps us, because learning from what other organizations are doing is very, very helpful, right? A lot of times, if you are the leader in your organization, you don't have a lot of other folks that totally understand the journey that you're going through. So it's difficult to find mentorship that helps you in your job. There is definitely mentorship that is helping, you know, you kind of from other aspects like leadership and so on. But very specifically to AI and, you know, what you need to know about that, I feel like peer communities, because of the role in incubator, I work with a lot of startups, and understanding their journey kind of helps a lot, because we are in some sense a startup inside a larger organization.
Right.
And so that gives me a lot of, you know, a lot of insights into how I should be thinking about problems. I think when you also hire, so, you know, my background I didn't start as a data scientist. Right. And so there's a lot of learning I do with my team itself, right? So you hire a bunch of really sharp individuals, and, you know, they're part of your team, and you learn from each other. So it's, when I think about mentor and where you learn stuff, you know, I look at it as there's all levels, and, you know, you learn from every level.
Wow. So what, Preeta, you're saying is you learn from every level. In fact, even you are learning from some of your mentees in your incubator. And then the other thing you're saying is the journey of self-learning never stops. You brought in people to educate and train. And I think that's also an important thing, that the journey to self-learn, because AI is moving so, so rapidly. It is almost impossible to kind of stay on top of everything. Preeta, looking ahead, what emerging trends do you see shaping the future of AI, especially in your industry?
I think, obviously Gen AI is going through a massive hype now. I do think it'll take a couple of years for us to really figure out where it can be transformative and where can it add transformative value. I do think, as being a regulated industry, you know, it's good in some ways, because it's a open field. It's a gold mine of opportunities for you. Like there's a lot of problems that can be solved, right, using AI. Anybody who is making a decision can make a better decision with data and analytics. That's kind of my belief, right? And if you think about insurance specifically, insurance is nothing but data. We don't have a physical product, right? So it's all data. And so this is a gold mine as far as analytics is concerned, and the amount of opportunities we have.
That's true. Preeta, we're going to do a lightning round of questions. Basically, we'd like some brief answers from you. And again, this is for our listeners who want to know some of these things from you. A book or a resource you would recommend to someone who wants to learn more about AI?
I think there are a couple of books, and this may be a lot more business oriented, competing in the age of AI. Like, you know, there's a few of them that comes to my mind.
Okay.
Machine Age, yep.
Wonderful. Preeta, what's the one piece of advice you wish you had gotten when you were just starting out in your AI journey?
I think if someone had told me how important change management is going to be, and how much the value that you generate with AI is going to be hinging on on people adopting and people changing, I think I knew it, but flagging that would have been helpful.
So change management, the people who thought you'd say technology, you know, PyTorch, this, that, but change management. Preeta, favorite AI tool or software that you can't live without? I think I know the answer to that, but please.
please don't make me say ChatGPT, but I do use it a lot now.
I think we all do, Preeta. We all do. a biggest misconception about AI that you encounter frequently?
I think a lot of people think that it just learns on its own. Like you know, the learning loop, the fact that the learning loop is a very, you know, you have to design for it, like that is something that doesn't come naturally to people. They kind of keep thinking this is going to be like humans. It's just going to keep learning, you know, once deployed. So that, I would say that probably is a misconception.
This is an interesting one. Let's see. If you could have dinner with any AI luminary, living or deceased, who would it be? There are several of them, Preeta.
Yeah.
You can just pick one.
I think I would like to kind of have a conversation with Sam Altman.
That's true. That's not bad. That's not bad. Preeta, open source or closed source, what is your view on that?
My view on open source, I think open source would, I believe that is what will help the overall kind of getting the community to kind of adopt and grow. So open source.
Wonderful. Preeta, final words of wisdom or recommendation that you have for our listeners who, you know, are on their own journeys in AI leadership roles, peers who are looking to you, what would be your final words of wisdom or recommendation?
I think this is hard. This work is hard, but it is very, very rewarding. And so I would say, you know, persistence, resilience, like these are going to be important as you embark on this journey.
So persistence, resilience is important. Preeta, thank you so much for being on our podcast. It concludes our conversation, you know, from unraveling her journey to some invaluable insights on the challenges and opportunities in AI implementation. You provided us a wealth of knowledge, and really thank you for joining us today. And, you know, continued success to you as you shape the future of AI in Unum. And thanks to our listeners for tuning into the CIO podcast, where we uncover the stories behind the leaders driving AI innovation. So stay tuned for more conversations with chief AI officers from across industry. Thank you, Preeta. It's really been a great conversation.
Thank you so much for having me, Sanjay.
Thank you.